it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour four of the nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Flagtober rolls on tomorrow with KNC Masterpiece at Taco Bueno. Get there. Join us at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers 2 to 7. Lucius is going to be with us, and we'll have the flags. Saturday, Mansfield Hurtado, 10 to 10:30. Fort Worth Hurtado, 11:30 to noon. Come say hi. I'll hand you a flag. We'll catch up a little bit, and then we'll have some delicious barbecue. And, of course, the Highland Hotel in Dallas, 2 to 6 on Saturday there for your watch party for the big game. Here's the chief of football's finest.
All right, so Thursday night football, Giants and Eagles. Jackson Dart over 30.5 passing attempts is the most bet prop for tonight's game. 99% of the money is on the over at BetMGM right now. He had 40 passing attempts in week 5. So assuming that the Giants are going to be trailing in the football game, they're imagining he's going to have to drop back and spin it. Saquon Barkley, the most bet player to score a touchdown tonight on Thursday night football. He scored a touchdown in 4 of the 5 games this season. And it would be incredible if the Giants can find a way. Can you imagine the meltdowns tomorrow in Filthy?
I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
It would like be gorgeous.
The Yankees meltdowns that are going on right now.
I mean, I believe in parity, but it's crazy. They shouldn't be this bad.
The Giants? Or the Eagles?
The Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Offensively, in particular?
Yeah. And pass rush. I mean, they got 3 dudes still. They got 7 sacks. They can't run the ball. They can't rush the passer. I think at this point, 5 weeks in, if you're this bad, it's kind of like the Rangers offense. What do we say? If you're this bad and we're in mid-May, the best you're going to get is to average. There's no going from here back to paving football fields with the other teams for the rest of the season like they were last year.
Yeah, it's evident. Like what they had last year, it's hard to duplicate that level of dominance. And now you have Barkley a little bit banged up. Their offensive line clearly isn't as good. They're having questions. I mean, you can get odds right now on whether or not their play caller will last the season actually calling plays.
Yeah.
So it's just it's weird. But their schedule lightens up a little bit, but it's still relatively tough.
They might need to change OCs.
Do you think that Hurts not scrambling more has hurt this football team?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it down?
It's down, yeah. I mean, it's a 17% scramble rate this season. So, like, through 21 through 24, he was right at 22.3. But the offense not being the same because of him not running. I mean, he ran against the Cowboys, don't get me wrong. But everybody else, it seems like. But his scramble rate is the lowest it's been in, in 5 years.
I mean, and maybe they're taking the page that you talk about, out of your book all the time, Dawson, where it's like, hey, if you know you're going to be a playoff team, let's not push it. It won't be as pretty in the regular season because we're trying to keep our quarterback out of harm's way. And then once you get into must-win territory, all of a sudden you unleash the beast there. And I could see that being the case. But there's no doubt that if you're an offense that's dependent on a quarterback running the football quite a bit and then you just lose that element to the offense, it's going to hurt you, especially when you're not doing everything else on the same level. You're not throwing the ball that well. You're not running it near as well as you did last year. So I would say absolutely that's a factor.
Yeah, the biggest factor, I think, is their scheme and just lack of running game. Barkley dependent.
How about this on the defensive side of the ball? They've had 10. They've had 3 straight games where they've had 10-plus missed tackles.
Wow.
Defensively. That could be an issue too, right? Yeah,
and the offensive line not winning as much as they're accustomed to.
43% pressure from new guys off the edge that weren't on the Super Bowl roster. That's down a little bit.
I mean, Milton Williams is a really good player, and he's doing good things for New England right now. Obviously, Graham was good, and
Sweat was probably their most consistent edge rusher.
Yes, yes, he was. Joel Corey today did players who were worth it in free agency in the trade market, and he had Josh Sweat up there, who's balling for Arizona.
We'll see him in a few weeks.
You know, Slay and Gardner Johnson. I think there's a price to pay for that with just a general lack of experience more now in the secondary. But I mean, the Cowboys have probably lost more, and the Cowboys analytically are playing better, even though they don't have the better record right now.
Eagles defense has allowed just 5 deep completions this season. 4 of the 5 have resulted in a touchdown. That's the second most in the NFL. So they've allowed
Jackson Dart can push the ball down the field.
5 completions downfield, but 4 of them end up in touchdowns. I don't know why people aren't attacking them more if that's the case.
I mean, I don't think the Giants are going to have much success in the pass game tonight. They lost another wide receiver. This has got to be, is Tracy healthy? This has got to be
Tracy's
a big
healthy.
Run game for the running back and the quarterback and a low-scoring win if it's going to happen.
Yeah, when you don't have Malik Nabers. I mean, you know they're going to have to run the football. Or maybe Dart's going to have to get something with his legs going. But it's going to be tough for the Giants with really a lack of explosiveness at receiver. Wandale Robinson, maybe he can have just a wild game tonight. If you're like we are, I mean, we're obviously rooting for the Giants, but I mean, it's the Eagles. Like they're just finding ways and special teams, like just in the margins to find wins. So if you're the Giants, maybe you can find a way to rattle Jalen Hurts. Can Kayvon Thibodeau get a forced sack fumble, return it for a touchdown? Can he get a defensive score? You need all those things to go right on Thursday night.
So Bijan Robinson was on the This Is Football podcast with Kevin Clark, and he was asked the biggest badass that he's ever played with. His college teammate at Texas, DeMarvion Overshown, was the name that Bijan Robinson dropped. Apparently their physical practices were the stuff of legend, and his quote was, he was killing with the Cowboys before the injuries. Definitely the guy I would say made me a much better player.
Okay.
So can you imagine some Oklahoma drills? Bijan Robinson, DeMarvion Overshown, getting after it in college. Gosh, that would have been fun.
I mean, the way things have gone, I can't imagine Overshown being healthy on the other side of those, to be honest with you. I need some Overshown health.
Yeah, that's a good point. How about what the Browns have going on right now? Their cap hits at the quarterback position?
Oh, it's insane.
This is hilarious.
They're still playing like 8 players, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have Deshaun Watson's counting basically $36 million against their cap right now. Jameis Winston is still counting over $2 million in dead money. Dylan Gabriel, over $1 million. Joe Flacco, right about $1 million now in dead money. Shedeur Sanders, just about $1 million. Bailey Zappe on the practice squad, getting paid almost $500,000. You have...
Did I see Zappe's the backup this week?
Yeah, Zappe's the backup.
So they're giving... Okay, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, they're not giving Shedeur the number two job. He's still third.
Somebody there does not like him.
Yeah. And maybe it is. I think... There was a lot of
it's
talk.
The owner
pushed them to make that pick, and nobody else
actually,
in the building.
The GM.
Andrew Berry.
The coaching staff clearly doesn't like him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Berry pushed for this. This is what
crazy.
I'm hearing. Berry pushed for this, and then the coaching staff wanted nothing to do with it.
Wow.
They're going to get to a point where they have no choice but to start to shit over Sanders, and then they're going to be like, nah, we'll just go Wildcat all game with Quinshon Judkins.
Why not just trade the poor kid, man? Send him somewhere else where he's got a shot.
That's pretty wild. I didn't realize that. But they're also paying DTR and Kenny Pickett money right now on their cap.
Four guys are on the roster.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 quarterbacks have some cap value right now on the Browns salary cap, which is just hilarious.
All they had to do was stop with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
They've been okay.
Yeah, they sure did.
The Bengals sent 2 vehicles to pick up Joe Flacco and his wife, 3.5-hour drive, study the playbook, quick turnaround. He's going to be making the start this week. And the second vehicle was just simply for all their luggage and belongings. That's how the Bengals went ahead and got that done. They're like, hey, it's close enough. We don't have to send a plane. We don't have to do anything like that. We'll just go ahead and send 2 vehicles. And Deion Sanders, I don't know if you guys caught this, but during the Manning cast on Monday night, you had the Jags playing versus the Chiefs, and Eli Manning made a statement about Travis Hunter, and apparently he had gotten this information from Jags head coach Liam Cohen that while at Colorado, Travis Hunter never practiced on the offensive side of the ball. We know he's a two-way player. He was a great receiver for Colorado, great corner as well. But Liam Cohen apparently told Eli Manning that in college, Travis Hunter never practiced the offense. He was just kind of out there freelancing during games. So Eli Manning like ran with that on the Manning cast. And then Coach Prime is calling ball sack. He says, quote, that was a ball sack.
He said that?
No, I'm just kidding. That would have been great, hey, though.
You guys got ball sacked on that report.
He says, that was a lie. Travis Hunter played offense and defense. We started out with the ones on offense going for the first four or five reps. Then he would go over and play defense the next four or five reps, and he did that the entire practice all season. So I don't know what the miscommunication was there, but Coach Prime is not here for it. Do you see the videos of him? He's going through his surgery. He's got Karrueche Tran like helping him out. Like they're still together, and she's gonna be.
So he's going in for blood clots, and he's gonna coach this weekend.
I guess he's still planning on coaching. 17th
procedure.
They took his bladder out. Is what they did. They took his bladder out, and then they made a brand new bladder for him.
Cut. They can do that.
They cut in.
We got bladder factories.
Yeah, they cut intestines and sewed some things together and things. So yeah, it's
amazing.
It's pretty. He coached the game the other day with like his left shoe off.
It's just crazy because I mean, such an athlete, and he's lived alcohol free and drug free, right? I mean, he's taken care of his body. He's stayed in shape. And even to him, it's happened.
Yeah.
Age sucks.
I know we talk about Cam Scataboo being a big psycho, but I think there is a Bengals fan that's a bigger psycho. This guy is all over the internet right now.
Okay.
He's a diehard Bengals fan. All right. And this is a team that is borderline
unwatchable. And he's on the Bengals?
No.
Oh, he's a fan.
Yeah, he's just a Bengals fan. And he has decided to, and he's documenting this on the internet.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
He's living in his car for the entire season, and he's door dashing to make money. And he's doing it so that he can afford to attend every Bengals home game this year.
Yeah, it's genius right here. Awesome. You know, I think it's going to test him when it gets to those December and maybe January.
Yeah.
Maybe one game in January.
I see those people live in the Arctic kind of thing in vans and stuff. There's some TikTok videos of those folks, how they survive.
I mean, you'll freeze to death.
Bro, like, this is ridiculous.
I mean, what do? They start fires in the car or something?
They
make a little fireplace in the car?
It's crazy the lengths that they go to stay warm in these cars.
Like, homeless ingenuity is at an all-time high right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this guy, to do it for the Bengals, to do it for any team is asinine.
Yeah.
But especially to do this for the Bengals, bro. Like, once bro goes down, you got to punt on this plan.
Yes, exactly. You pull the plug on it and say maybe we'll rally and look at doing this next year. But
have you ever seen like back in the day, Dawson? You'll probably remember this. I bet you Lucius would remember this too.
Oh yeah, I do.
When remember when people used to like stay up on signs like they're like a billboard. They would live on the billboard up there, and they wouldn't come down until something happened.
Uh huh. Like a strike.
Yeah, well,
don't cut down the redwoods or something.
Well, no, it was more like I'm not going to leave until the Cowboys make the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
so they stay up there the whole time, and it's like
I remember those.
It was like a radio station.
The evening news would check in.
Yeah,
on it.
They'd always check on, and there was somebody sitting like, "How's it going up there?" Oh yeah, we're doing great, you know. And really, they're not doing great. They're so happy they got to come down. But it was like back in the day, the radio stations would have people live up on a billboard.
No way,
and you get some fame, and I think this content creator guy might get some fame. I get some free tickets out of this. Somebody's probably going to hook him up with some shelter. Yeah. Like, is this happening?
It's like the Joe Hoyt DoorDash deal. You know,
I haven't seen any movement on that, but yeah, it's a good point.
They'll start a GoFundMe for the kid, get him an apartment. You know, make sure he's toasty. Maybe he'll get some free food out of the deal.
Yeah, it could pay off. Big picture.
That's sad that you got to be homeless to afford to go to NFL games. That's
it's
the other
crazy
side of it.
How expensive it
especially
is.
Especially these Bengals games, man. Shout out to the 775.
I mean, but it is eight games at what? Maybe $300 a ticket?
Yeah, that's kind of
where you sit. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how specific he is on where he wants to be sitting in there. Maybe he wants to get an up close and personal view at that disgusting offensive line.
The living out of the car deal, though, I think it's going to become more and more prevalent. I think we're going to see more of that.
775, I live in a regular SUV. No modification, and I drive Uber. Just text it in right now.
There you go.
At least it's SUV. This guy's living in like a
two-door. There's people that live in these cars, and then they pull over like at the the LA Fitness and stuff and use the showers and things like that.
They that's what this guy does.
Yeah.
He's got like a storage unit. Planet Fitness. Storage unit.
I've seen that before.
I've seen people live in the storage unit.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
They're living in their vans right now. That's like the real popular thing, living in your vans.
On the adventure.
Content creator.
Yeah.
On TikTok and whatnot.
Yeah. I think that's like the... That's like the detaching, unplugging and going out there and showing the world, you know, a different sort of adventure lifestyle.
Yeah. Wash my behind at state parks and whatnot.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, dude, these people are nuts. On the Great American Road Trip we did a couple of years ago, we'd stay at state parks at like camping grounds and you would see quite a bit of that. You know, like people would be driving up in their old Honda Civics and
just getting out and washing.
You know, they need a home base. They need an HQ and it's like $12 a night.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do. I do respect that. But these Sprinter vans are where it's at. Like the big money high rollers are tearing it up in those things.
Yeah, you have to have a job and put away and then like break out and go do that. But you know, you need like a nest egg or something to pull that off. I think Slater's sister did it.
Yeah. You're right about that. You're sure right.
Remember Gardner Minshew was doing that? I wonder, he was living out of a Winnebago.
There was a Blue Jays pitcher. I remember Bassick did a story about him. This is probably 10 years ago in Baseball Nuggets.
Did the same thing?
Yeah, he had a little grill out there, and he liked to do this little solo mission thing.
I think Harbaugh did a little bit of that.
Wow, dude, brought us.
Winnebago.
254 just says, I'm a nurse who takes care of people right after their surgery. Broadus is right. Holy S, Broadus is right.
Thank you.
They use part of the intestines to create a sac to hold the urine that comes from the kidneys. Then the urine is directed outside of his body into what's called a ureostomy bag.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he's living right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's doing it with a hell of an attitude. Yeah. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
You cannot keep this guy down.
Ask that nurse person. I'm seeing like conversations online where the blood clots can be bad in Colorado. Like it makes it worse.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very good.
I'd be getting out of Colorado real quick. That? Yeah. I need a medical buyout ASAP. Stat.
Get back to the great state.
So nice up there, though.
Okay, yes. Get back inside. It is very nice. I mean, and the view from his office.
If you're going to die, probably a good place to die.
Yeah, I guess I'd prefer to do it without blood clots.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's probably
avoid that.
Okay, G-Bag Nation, we're coming back. We'll get you caught up on everything else that happened at today's practice. We'll get to the Jake Ferguson Show. The G-Bag of the Day in LA Live is all next. Commercial-free, uninterrupted, all the way to the top when we're back.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on The Fan. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We are 12 minutes away from Jake Ferguson joining us here on your home of the Cowboys. Let's hit the expressway. It's brought to you by the on-time experts. Fred and Blake are in there in the bullpen throwing heat already. Fan After Dark's coming up from 7 to 11. Dodgers and Phillies, they're underway. They are scoreless in the first. Dodgers lead that series 2-1. Brian needs to find his remote. So we can get his day baseball on. Brewers and Cubs coming up at 8 o'clock. Milwaukee leads that series 2-1. So just the NL tonight down to 2 games here. But Mariners and Tigers game 5 tomorrow. That should be quite a bit of fun. Nathan Eovaldi, sports hernia. He's hoping for a big healthy season in 2026. He is due. But yeah, I guess he had surgery for a sports hernia to go along with his other collection of injuries. And we just need these two aces to be healthy next year. Everybody else is going to fall into place 3, 4, 5. He should dominate with the pitching once again. And see why I trust. He's going to get this offense figured out. He ain't going 3 years in a row like this underperforming. I want to stand for it.
Yeah, he's going to be grinding, man. He is. And I know we were talking about maybe moving on from some of these guys like an Eovaldi, but gosh, I just love him so much.
Yeah,
and he's like, he might be my favorite Ranger of all time.
You know, if CY decided we need to blow this thing up, I'd be like, okay, I get it, CY, I trust your vision.
Right.
But right now, the better risk is just to bring those two guys back and see if you can recapture that glory of the pitching staff and the defense
and just you know, get some replacement level offense should be good enough to go on another run. John Rahm still struggling to find peace in the game of golf. You tracking this story, Brian? He's a meditator, so I'm always watching him. You can see him really, sometimes.
He was good in the Ryder Cup, though.
He was.
Guy was really
he
good.
He said it was the most mentally exhausting week of his life.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, the stress is still there, but he barked at a marshal today that tried to cheer him up during the Spanish Open. Yeah. His drive found the left rough on the par 4 eighth. Rahm saw his lie and started cussing and complaining. What a day, what he did, he said, followed by an expletive. The marshal who had marked his ball said, "It's okay." And Rahm immediately looked at him and said, "Don't tell me it's okay. Thank you." The marshal then apologized as he walked away while Rahm continued complaining that it's not okay.
Yeah.
It's surprising this dude is this good at golf. Most golfers are like field goal kickers. You know, they're just like, they got a very calm pulse. Spaniards are fiery.
Fiery people, especially on golf. Look at what guys like Ballesteros back in the day.
I mean, Seve.
Look at the problems that Sergio Garcia has had in the past, you know, with his...
little emotional out there.
Yeah, a little emotional out there. But the Spaniards are very fiery golfers.
A lot of passion.
A lot of passion, yeah.
Rahm, is trying to win his record fourth Spanish Open title, which would surpass Seve.
Yeah.
The tournament's most successful golfer since the creation of the European Tour in 1972. Okay, we'll get to the G-Bag of the Day here early so we can get to Jake Ferguson coming up here at about 5:35. Did have a couple of Clayton Adams notes for you. He left Arizona for Dallas. The Cowboys are now number one in rush success rate. We've been tracking Arizona. They're now 32nd in rushing win rate. Yeah. Have to imagine it's going to be tough to keep Clayton Adams. That is unbelievable. They were top 10 last year. Did you have that stat earlier? Well, Chuck, no. Okay.
We're all
2 days ago.
It's a 2 days ago.
You know what? I think too, losing Connor has hurt their running game too. I watched them play against Carolina, and you know he was involved. But man, that's a big difference with him. But the scheme is not the same running the ball.
No, and maybe if DeMarcado like holds onto the ball, they'd be helped a little.
The success rate looks a little bit better.
Sitting in 30. Clayton talked to reporters today, though, on his tandem with Connor Riley, the O-line coach, says even their disagreements are productive, functional. They love it. He says, "It's been awesome. I couldn't ask for someone who understands what I want at a higher level and who also has a lower ego." That's Adams on Riley. I'm excited about Riley as well.
Riley, we got a chance to interview him before the third day of the draft. What an easygoing guy, but man, like very – very much like when you start talking about how you do things, and they're on the same page. Like they were not going to ask these guys to do something that they couldn't do. They were going to come in, they were going to learn them, and then they've kind of figured out that these guys, the pullers are your tackles. You know, some of your guards, maybe you want to pull, Smith a little bit more than Booker, but they've kind of figured out which one of their guys can do certain tasks. I think that's what's made him very successful right now.
Adams was asked if the Cowboys' rushing attack is achieving his create violence run and hit edict that he said when he was hired. He said they're doing it, but they're inconsistent, and he expects more and better.
Yeah.
All right, it's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the Day.
G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan 530. It's about 5:28 right now, just a little early. My name is L.A. Lucius Alexander. You can hit me up if there's anything you think I should be playing, which you guys have been doing, and I appreciate that. This is day three for this champion audio right here. Watch the game, the Cowboys game with A.I. Broadus.
Left to right at the Dallas 42. Fields is in the gun. Gives it to Hall, and he's got a seam at right guard. He breaks away from a tackle, running 30, 25, 21-yard line.
This team's never going to stop anybody. I told these f***ers to keep Zimmer.
Pressure blowing right up the middle. Sam Williams with his speed, with his first sack of the year and the Cowboys' fourth of the day.
Didn't Bobby say they wouldn't be able to rush the passer? This is why I fired his fat ass from Love of the Star.
Here's a deep pass down the right side. Hall flung away at the 25. A great move inside the defender and down to the 15.
Let me text the gang of seven about this Flournoy guy. You like this guy, right, Zach? Yeah. That's why you're my draft show protege and we had to gatekeep Chiafalo.
All right, here's Fields throwing deep. Oh, into the right side. Wilson caught it at the 48.
Is Bade mute over there? Is this a preseason game? Do I need to step in and do color for him?
Going deep. There's a shot for Pickens. He got pushed. He caught the ball.
Zach, do you remember which of my 72 podcasts I talked about taking a shot to Pickens this week? Peyton, I'm going to run downstairs real quick and see if the homeless guy outside the McDonald's wants some G-bag gear.
Throws it deep to the middle of Lenoir on a deep crosser. 45, broke a tackle, right sideline, 20-yard line.
He told me I had to be higher than Mark Sanchez in the cab of an oil disposal truck to think he'd be seen in that.
Brilliant work there from Bobby Belt.
Bobby was good today.
Did you really tell him to keep Zimmer?
No. Mike told me he wanted to be the head coach. That's why he moved on. When they didn't offer him the head coaching job, he said, I'm just going to move on.
It'd be a lot better right now if they had kept Zimmer, wouldn't it?
As defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
I love Mike. I do. I think Mike's really good. I felt bad for me. He did not get a sniff as a head coach there. But obviously with Shoddy, the Joneses got their guy.
All right, let's go to the second clip right here. Costco crash out. Dude was on his phone in the middle of the aisle, and another guy moved his cart out the way.
Okay.
Like, hey, give me some room, man. I'm trying to get by.
Yeah.
And it became a thing.
What happened?
You didn't have any space?
No, I didn't have any space.
You didn't have no space?
Well, honestly, sorry. You were blocking the way on your phone. You were kind of blocking the way on your phone, buddy. You should move out of the way next time.
You didn't have no space?
I didn't have no space, buddy. You're blocking the whole way. I couldn't even get through, buddy. Come on, buddy. Get the phone.
My buddy?
Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, my buddy?
Yeah. Is something wrong with you?
Yes, I have something wrong with me.
Buddy, I'm not trying to be difficult. You are on the phone.
You are trying to be difficult.
No,
you're
not.
You're trying to show your muscle.
No, buddy. You're on the phone on like an idiot. I got to get that out of the way, buddy.
Learn your language.
I am.
Why you're calling me an idiot?
Buddy,
you're calling me an idiot?
Were you on the phone?
Oh, no.
I was not on the phone.
You were on the phone 3 seconds ago.
I was not on the phone.
You were on
Do
the phone.
Do you have a father, mother? Learn from your dad, from your parents.
Why are you screaming?
You call me an idiot. He called me an idiot.
Why is he crying?
Why is he crying? I like how that guy handled it. I mean, if somebody's on the phone, they're distracted, their cart's in your way, you got to get to the other side of it. I think that's reasonable.
You want to show your muscle. Yeah, I love that part.
Yeah.
You want to show your muscle. All right, let's see. The playmaker, Michael Irvin. He tells the haters over there at Facts Over Feelings podcast to keep his name out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He said they were slow receivers. Even took a shot at Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders, all types of crazy stuff.
Unbelievable. These kids don't know we were fast back in the day.
Come on.
They're like, well, we just got fast.
They think
recently,
everything's
right?
brand new just because they just got here.
Yeah.
You got here now. It's brand new to you. Now, this was a 14-minute rant. It was hard to find something that could fit into this, but here we go.
What the hell are you talking about? I don't even know your name. And I certainly don't know your game because I don't see you every year with a gold jacket in that Hall of Fame room. I don't see you anywhere great players are. Mm. So who the f*** are you to talk about what? You couldn't even play when I played the game. And some of these f*** you're talking about, they couldn't even play when we played the game. So I'm sitting here saying, what the hell is he talking about? I don't mind you being stupid. I don't mind you being dumb. I don't mind you not knowing what the f*** you're talking about. Keep my name out your mouth when you don't know what you're talking about. Keep my name and my image. Don't try to shit on my work when I won championships on every level. On every level. When they can knock f***s out. I call passes in the midst of pain. Y'all don't do that. Y'all ain't never had to do that. So shut the hell up.
Shut the hell up. On fire.
Hold on. Talk amongst yourself. I think Fergie's here. Hold on.
Oh, Fergie.
Man. Maybe the single greatest Michael Irvin audio I've heard. I think that might take the cake right there.
Awesome.
Not unhinged. Still hinged. But cussing. Let it be known. These kids don't know what the hell they're talking about. Michael Irvin. Played hurt. Had to go over the middle where you get hit. Right? There was none of these rules. Okay, we'll vote on the other side. It's time to talk with Jake Ferguson here, the Cowboys Player Show. The Jake Ferguson Show brought to you by Miller Lite, proud sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Jake. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Man, we are doing wonderful. It's you know, been a lot of fun reacting to the Jets game and getting ready for this Panthers game, and that's where I want to start. What did you think of Rico saying buckle up?
I think benefit of the doubt, I also do know, or I know Rico, and he's probably fired up, which is cool, and that's good, but, you know, I'm not much of the bulletin board material guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm more of just like, let's play the game. You know what I mean?
So you're not like the Jordan thing where you take a little thing and then you blow it up into proportion and you obsess about it going into it. You're more laid back.
Yeah. And I mean, my personal, like, I used to be like that for sure. Like kind of, and I'm talking like probably like when I was a lot younger, high school maybe, but like I found out quick that a lot of the times the more juiced up, like, oh, I'm gonna go crazy. You know what I mean? The more you tend to lose focus on like the little things. And don't get me wrong, you can still play physical and stuff like that. But yeah, I just think you can overflow that pot pretty quick.
Well, you're getting it figured out pretty good. I mean, I do have your stat of the week here for you, Jake. I know you're not paying too much attention to it, but tied for the most receptions by a tight end through the first five games in NFL history, my man. Congrats on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know what goes through my head right there when you say that?
What's that?
Tied and then a couple of those drops early.
Oh. Could have been more.
Could have been.
Well, I mean, both your touchdowns were pretty awesome, though. Which was your favorite and why?
Are you talking last with Jets?
Yeah. Yes.
I think that my favorite one was the second one. The first one, obviously, the setup from the big boys. Mm-hmm. But if you watch the end of that, I've caught on a lot of heat from this. If you watch the end of that, I pushed T. Steele away, Terrence Steele. He's trying to celebrate with me, and I pushed him away because I was looking for George because we had planned that stupid dance. Oh. And I walk in on Monday, and they're like, every single O-lineman I see is like, man, that's crazy, Jake. Like, that's crazy. Pushing away Keith Steele. I felt bad. And then, but yeah, the second one, better Selly. That was first one back, I was scrambling for the celebration. But yeah, second one definitely just because I got to see the big boys.
Okay, well, you couldn't miss Nate Thomas celebrating with all the pumping. I mean, he gets flagged for it, but how amazing was that?
Yeah, that was crazy. That's the Key and Peele skit, the Hingle McKringleberry or whatever. But ref threw the flag, and we were like, no, like, what happened? Like, holding, we thought it was an illegal man downfield at first. And then he walked past us and goes, yeah, he triple pumped. Can't do that. And he was laughing. We're like, oh, damn.
Two pump max then?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't see the full thing on film, but I'm pretty sure he
yeah, it might have been five pumps. I lost count after a little bit. Are those your favorite jerseys to wear, those like Arctic whites?
No, surprisingly, I'm a Navy fan.
Ooh.
I like the Navies. I really like the Navies. And then obviously those aren't my favorite simply because the pants aren't comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, they're a little bit different material. Is that what it is?
Yeah. If you watch that game back, you'll see me pulling up my pant like almost anytime Dak makes a check or anything. Anytime there's a pause on offense.
Just like a plumber's crack situation. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
No, it's the fact that they slide. They like ride down, like they just drop. Maybe I need a belt. But they just drop down and then like cover my, they like the whole knee pad covers my knee, which it sounds like it's normal, but you like to have it a little higher.
So has there been an emphasis? Have you seen these guys dropping the football before they cross the plane of the end zone? I mean, is there any type of practice emphasis to make sure that we're not doing that?
No, I mean, I don't understand that one truthfully. But no, we do have a saying. We've had to create a saying based off of just what's been happening through the letters and logos, basically. So it's like three letters and logos of the end zone, so like 3 yards in.
You brought up Dak and checks there, Ferg. I've always wondered, like, pre-snap, you know, because we don't know, like, what is Dak checking out of a play here and there. So What is that like? Can you take us through like pre-snap, everything that's being the audibles? I know you're probably listening for certain things, but like Dak's development, because he seems like in total command and you've now played with him for several years.
Oh, yeah. I think this is the year. I mean, yeah, this is definitely the most vocal and like at the line of scrimmage, like we're making checks or just being like just communicating really like at a high level. And I think it's definitely different this year than it has been in previous. But yeah, I mean, we get up there and there's also a testament to this offense. You know what I mean? Like how we're able to be coached, this team, the receiving core, the O-line, making like protection checks, and then also just having Dak at the helm making those checks and also like just communicating it through to us. It completely opens up a whole new game, like especially in the pass game.
Jake Ferguson Show here with you on 105.3 The Fan. They're saying you become like the best security blanket for Dak since Witten, and that's getting a lot of media attention. What's the key to developing that trust with him and to being so reliable for him right now?
Yeah, I think, if you're talking like checkdowns and stuff like that, like whether I'm chipping off the line or, you know, it's just a little short route, like that's a testament to the receivers and our receiving core. Like those guys have to drop back into coverage or else we're taking a shot. And you saw that last week with like Flournoy and stuff like that. And some of those young guys stepping up, but like sometimes they have to drop, into crazy quarters and like take away the deep shots. And then that's when those checkdowns hit. But at the same time, like the connection with Dak that like we're trying to establish and keep going, obviously, I think that starts preseason, pre-OTAs, we were going golf and he took the whole receiving core out to Georgia and we do throwing sessions as well as workouts, as well as just hanging out, getting to know each other. And that kind of stuff coming from your quarterback it's so easy to buy in. And like when you're thinking of, the quarterback flying lead and we'll fly wing, like that's exactly what you want from your quarterback and your lead guy. And he's doing exactly that. And then, we're both trying to break 100 on the golf course when it's off season. So that's also a pretty big, connection right there.
How's that going for you?
Terrible. Terrible. I've broken it a couple of times. There was one point I was in the low 90s, but then obviously fall camp hits and you don't want to go because, your back starts to go and stuff like that. But yeah, it's all about connection. And that's also kind of what Shoddy has been preaching is, like something that separates us is our connection with one another and like how we get to know each other as men. Cause then once you get to know a guy, you'll be willing to go to war for him. That's just how it goes. You know what I mean? And it's all throughout the whole team.
Hey Jake, you guys are going to connect on one of those seam passes. It looks like to me that your eyes were back quick. Like you were expecting that ball a little bit earlier than maybe. Do you think you were going to get it before you got to the end zone?
Yeah. You hit that on the money. You hit that exactly on the money. Okay. I got really excited because if you watch that, he's dropping the guys in the seams dropping from the A gap.
Uh-huh. Right.
And because he's mugged up and they're disguising some stuff or whatever.
Sure.
And I took three steps. I go, this is my ball.
Yeah.
And I turned around when I should have just kept running. But that's one I wish there's two I wish I could have had back from that game. And that was three actually.
Yeah. Goals. I didn't mean to bring that one up, but I just remember watching the game I was sitting there thinking like, gosh dang, he was expecting a ball almost like a hot, you get that. You just, how quickly you got your eyes back to him. I was sitting there thinking, man, he was thinking he was going to get that ball right now. Is what it was.
Yeah, I blew my wad on that one. That one was no good.
Well, that was very graphic. What do you think about this Panthers defense? Because just watching them, and obviously I don't have a trained eye. Brian does here, but it seems like you're going to have some opportunities against this Carolina defense.
Yeah, there's definitely there's spots in it, and there's things we could take advantage of. I think it's going to start with the O-line first and foremost, and then obviously Tay running the ball. That's how I think the ball or the game should always go, being a Wisconsin guy. But there's definitely opportunities, and I think we got a great game plan, and we're still working on it as well. But no, we're definitely making good strides.
Could you give us the Jake Ferguson food review rating of the Cat's Deli Sandos you guys got in the post game?
Yeah, I liked it. However, I got it when it was cold because I came out late.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just not a cold sandwich guy, honestly. No.
You need the hot pastrami. We're gonna have to redo this for you.
What was it?
I thought they came cold though. Like I thought that was, or were they supposed to be hot?
Cats, I think, usually is pretty hot. They like pull them right out and they're carving them on the board, and that's a hot pastrami sandwich.
That's supposed
right
to be
there.
Hot for your corned beef pastrami. Yeah, they're taking that right out of the bin and putting it right on the block and serving that thing up.
Okay, yeah, I probably just got it at a wrong time.
You got screwed. What about quick?
It was good for what it was.
Girl Scout cookie. I did a top 10 Girl Scout cookies earlier. What's your favorite?
I'm the peanut butter ones.
With the tagline.
That was number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely peanut butter ones. And then I do like I can only do one sleeve of Thin Mints before I tap out. Like, I can't overdo Thin Mints, but they're good.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Slightly chilled?
Yes. Almost every chocolate is, for me, going in the freezer.
Okay. There you go.
Like that style.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, if you're hungry tomorrow after practice, we're going to be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless. I just want to invite you. We'll have a hot burger waiting for you.
Where's that at? How far is that from Frisco?
I don't know. What do you think? 20 minutes or so?
A bit of a haul.
Everything's 20 to 30 minutes.
See if Jerry will lend you the helicopter out there on the field, practice field. Just jump on and come see us.
Well, have a hell of a time in Charlotte and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you, Jake.
Yes, sir, fellas. Appreciate you guys.
Salute. There he goes. Jake Ferguson brought to you by Miller Lite every Thursday about 5:20 here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll go back into the Pimp Cup. We got a champ. We got two challengers, Lucius. Time to vote?
Let's see. Okay. Do we have two challengers? What did I play?
Costco and Playmaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Playmaker's going to win today.
You know
I'm telling you right now. My reign is about over.
Boy, you should see it here, the unedited version. Mike was really cussing up a storm.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
Mike, it's disrespectful.
Yep. Hey, where am I at? This isn't one, but I have this for Broadus.
Winner.
This old lady, I mean, she's old, got pulled over for speeding.
Ma'am, I stopped you for speeding. You were going 112.
112,
sign back there said 112.
That is highway 112, not the speed limit sign.
That was good stuff.
Yeah. Highway 112.
Yeah.
All right.
And yesterday was a church day. Pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. Get better, sir. Get better. We're praying for you. Sunday worship got off to a rough start.
Ooh.
I know a name. I can silence rolling waves.
All right, church, good morning. How are we doing this morning? We're going to stop for a moment. Stop. Hit
Please.
The red button. How many of us know sometimes plans just don't according? The plans don't go according to our plans. So can we just take a moment right now? And there's many things that I can get you to do. But one thing that I'm going to get you to do right now is just give Jesus a big shout of praise so that we can reset this moment.
Reset.
We got to reset.
Cut him off in the middle of him singing, bro.
Yeah.
Not the worship music we had in mind.
Come on, man.
I didn't think he was doing much of a better job either.
That's the funniest part to me.
Which one's worse? Yeah. Mark A or B on your Scantron?
Thank you very much.
Is it AI brought us our champ? Is it the Costco crash out? You're an idiot. Is it the Playmaker? Michael Irvin. Yeah, I think I want to hear that one again. Or is it your Sunday worship? I'm going to go Costco crash out. This is tough. I could go either way on this, Chief. How about you?
I'll go with the Playmaker.
Lucius?
Big Mike!
Volchuk?
I'll go with the Costco crash out to make it fun.
Ooh.
Bryant?
Playmaker.
By a score of 3-2, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Michael Irvin, bringing the heat to these young whippersnappers that have no respect for how they did it in the 90s.
Let them know, Mike.
Hey, Lucius, real quick for you. Real quick.
Yeah.
The story of Texas State Highway 112, maybe here. There's three 112s. Right from your previous, which is
112,
the highway
where the players dwell.
Yeah, 112, highway 112. There's one in Texas. It used to be Highway 69, but there was so much vandalism to the signs. They named it Highway 112.
I don't blame them. That's a pretty cool sign to have.
That's awesome. Let's go back to Lucius.
In the pimp cup. For LA Live.
Hey! Ladies' night.
All right, she swears. Thanks.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Witchin', go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a witch, ladies. I want all the ladies to know that we witching. Now, what that means is when we first meet you, we'll go out with you. We'll drink with you. We'll take you to dinner. Go to dinner with you. Go even over your folks' house with you. But the first time you start asking us to cash out you money, and I've been knowing you 3 days, we through with you.
We through, ladies. This is LA Live for Thursday, October 9th, 2025. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night Edition. Shout out to all the Tolo ladies that listen to this station. You are appreciated. Tupac cares if nobody else cares. Mm-hmm. How about that? LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Game 3 of the WNBA Finals was last night. Did anybody catch any of that?
No, sir. No,
I did when I got home.
They've got to redo their schedule.
Yeah.
Having it here in October where you have every other sport going and nobody is paying attention to your sport, they need to do better for these ladies.
Okay, I'm not mad at that. Las Vegas Aces versus the Phoenix Mercury?
Mercury's.
Yes, yes. WNBA, WNBA and MVP and Vegas ace, Asia Wilson, hit a clutch game-winning shot with 2.2 left on the clock.
Yeah.
It was clutch. It was so clutch. She hit the game winner over a married couple, by the way. She is the first athlete in history to hit a game-winning shot over a married couple.
Wow.
Married couple? Are they
the ones married that did the, couple, bro.
That Instagram live stream stuff?
Huh? I don't know.
They have a podcast together?
I can't remember the name of it. I might say something vulgar right now, so I'm not going to do it. Stud Buds?
Yes.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
DeWanna Bonner and Alyssa Thomas are married, and they play for the Mercury.
Wow.
Yeah. Shout out to Sabali, too.
Defense.
Sabali.
She was with us, right? She was a second overall pick.
She was.
Left in free agency.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is going to be a weird situation at the house. We both got a shot on game-winning shots.
Yeah.
Game 3 is over with. That was our last little thing we had.
It's your fault.
Yeah. I told you, girl. Get her. Sticking with the same-sex vibes, Governor Greg Abbott is threatening to withhold funding for roads if they do not remove rainbow crosswalks.
Oh. Jeez. It's colorful, right?
Jeez, bro. What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing? Rainbow crosswalks?
It's the gayborhood. It's the gayborhood. Let them have a rainbow crosswalk. Clearly, Greg Abbott has not been to the neighborhood over there in Cedar Springs with Hunky's old-fashioned hamburgers.
Yeah.
Hamburger, too.
Yeah,
Hunky's.
I love it. They call your name, number 33, and you get up there, he's like, here you go, sweetie.
Customer service right there.
Here you go, sweetie.
Get your ketchup and napkins in that thing for me, please.
Here you go.
Your little attaboy on your way out.
Some good food over there. Street's Fine Chicken, the taco place that you go to after 2 o'clock if you've been drinking. Yeah. I think there's a bar called Woody's.
Okay.
Yeah. And Packers.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they got a Bulgers over there as well.
God. Yeah, man. No, what are we doing? Getting rid of the rainbow crosswalk is not going to make them not gay. They're gay, bro. They're gay.
I'm not gay no more.
Yeah,
they can be delivered.
Let's see what else we got before I can get out of here real quick. The last of the New Orleans 10 has been caught in Atlanta. Got caught yesterday. They escaped from the New Orleans Parish Jail, May 16th. Over the following months, various inmates were apprehended. The last one, Derek Groves, was captured yesterday. Groves was reportedly caught after an argument with his girlfriend.
No!
She allegedly called the cops on him. Bro.
No.
Brutal.
No.
So it lets you know how long you can stay at a lady's house without paying for anything.
Yeah.
That's 6 months right there, fellas. Yeah. 6 months.
It was a good run.
It was a great run.
Yeah. He probably just got fed up that he was never going to go get a job.
Never
get a
job.
It sounded like a good idea. You know, she got to be the girlfriend of the prison escapee.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
you know, 6 months later, maybe not so good.
See, them Bills got the hitting.
Yeah.
God, I got in an argument. She called the cops. Yeah. That's absolutely insane, man. More bodies found in the Houston bayous.
Yeah.
As of yesterday, 16 bodies have been found in the Houston bayous. 16 bodies. Wow. This is the seventh body found in Houston area bayous in the last 30 days.
Jeez.
Five bodies were recovered in the same week.
They're saying they're all different kind of bodies, too, though. So they're like a serial killer usually has a type.
Yeah, that's what the mayor, John Whitmire, has denied any connections to being a serial killer.
Right.
He's trying to tamp that down, although, man, it's sounds like a coincidence.
Mayor. Sound like the mayor in Jaws.
Sounds like the Bay Harbor Butcher.
There's not a shark out there. Let's make that clear.
The water's fine, guys. What are we talking about?
Of course
about?
It's not a shark. It's not a shark. Oh, my gosh, it's a shark.
It's crazy stuff out there.
Check their forensics department for Dexter.
Yeah. And would you try this before we get out of here? New Pitmaster deodorant allows you to smell like fresh barbecue all the time.
Oh, man.
Sign me up.
I used to work at my dad's place. I'd come home at night, and I'd sit in the car, and I'd smell like...
Smelling smoky.
Campfire. Smell smoky, yep.
Yeah.
Well, if you go eat at, like, Hard Eight, you could be like, have dinner at Hard Eight. You stand by that pit long enough, you start to smell like the smoke.
This is from the people that made... What is this? A soup brand, Progresso.
Oh, not bad. Oh.
Yeah, Progresso.
Their wedding soup's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
I like if you have some dumplings in it.
Yep.
Or what is that? New England clam chowder?
Clam chowder's good.
Oh, my
chowder.
God.
Taste a little sand.
Oh, my. Yeah, you do taste some.
Taste a little sand.
They know it's fresh, right?
You taste a little sand.
The original
good.
Gritty.
The original gritty. My God, boy.
I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
Terrible.
The Pitmaster deodorant is described as carrying the signature smell of barbecue pit. It is offered in a pit kit, which bundles sticks of deodorant with cans of Progresso's new barbecue style.
Yeah.
They got a grilled chicken and fire roasted corn soup.
Ooh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, it's okay.
Good. I'm in.
Okay.
I mean, the deodorant might bring the big girls if you're into that.
Hey,
I would go with the deodorant with like a spatula, like a grill spatula that you could use. You know, like that's how I would pair it. Pair it with some like
tongs,
like a tool. Like okay, here, yeah, here you go.
That smells crazy.
Yeah.
All right, a little quick version of LA Live right there. Hold on. All of them fine, all of them so lovely. I can't make up my mind, but I'm looking at you from the corner. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lil Willen in the Creek. Don't rise. That is my time. I'm out of here, y'all.
There he goes. LA Live every night, usually 5:40 in the G-Bag Nation. Today, Jake ran a little late, so we floated the sked for him because that's what we do here on Your Home of the Cowboys. We got Joe Person. He covers the Panthers for The Athletic. He's going to join you next and help us preview Cowboys-Panthers here on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.